Welcome to ViralCast, MovieViral.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site, and I'm here today with Caleb, who's a contributor for the site, and also special guests Cody and JT. How's it going, everyone?
It's going well.
Good, good. Thank you.
So we're going to be talking basically the big news of the week. There's been a few really interesting stories that I want to talk about, and of course we're going to talk about our big story of the week, which is Pacific Rim. We'll start off with that. So if anybody doesn't know, Pacific Rim is a film about, to put it simply, robots versus monsters. Giant robots versus giant monsters. It's in a world where these monsters called kaiju exist, and then as humans we have to create these big robots to try to fight them. And it's being directed by Guillermo del Toro, which makes it seem very interesting. The footage that we saw at Comic-Con was limited, but very cool. So the big story this week was that they created a viral site called PanPacificDefense.com, and it's basically a map of the world, and you get links to a bunch of things. We got an alert system, like a test of the alert system. We got a news story about what seems maybe like the first attacks. It takes place in 2013. And then we also get like schematics for the various robots, some memos talking about them trying to come together, and they're all different dates. I mean, I saw some from like 2016, and so it's kind of ranging. So trying to put the story together, I imagine, is one of the things that they're trying to do here. And there's even a countdown right now. I think it's for a couple more days. I think it's like 10 more days until whatever is the next part of it is. So I kind of want to get your guys' opinion on what do you think about this? Obviously, we haven't seen a really good, like, viral campaign in a little while. So now, you know, there's some of the stuff that's still yet to be released has been kind of stagnant, like RoboCop and Elysium. So kind of get to, I'll start with Caleb. What do you think about the whole Pacific Rim viral so far?
I'm very, very excited for this. Like you said, there hasn't been a good viral campaign in a while. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen at the end of the countdown. I think they made a smart move with releasing a bit of footage. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though it's not probably not official footage from the film, at least it's, you know, gives us a look at what, you know, the tone of the movie will be. It gives us a look at one of the first monsters. And then we have these, a look at these, robots, the, Jaegers. So you know, they're heading in the right direction. I think, you know, when the countdown is, we might get a official trailer, or, you know, at least something. Some more footage from the movie. So, yeah.
What about you guys, Cody and JT? What do you guys think about all this?
Yeah, no, this is actually really exciting. Yeah, I'm liking everything I'm seeing. I love the sense of scale that it's sort of showing right now, both through like the blueprints and the map of the whole world. I think like it's definitely a good indicator that the movie's going to come through in like the giant sense of scale. So I think that's something that I'm really excited for.
Yeah.
I was agreeing with Caleb also about how it's been a while since we had a really big ARG or viral that was very thorough, and I'm hoping that they'll incorporate a lot of this these blueprints and ideas into the movie so that we get rewarded for participating in this viral. It'd be very exciting.
I mean, do you guys, obviously this is very early on in the stages. I mean, where do you think this might go? We have a countdown to more. Do you think it's going to be this kind of just information and stuff, or do you think it might become more interactive in a way? What do you guys think, just from speculation, I guess?
Well, I mean, I was looking at the countdown. Who knows what that is, first of all. It could be a trailer. It could be footage, just any footage. It also could lead to a viral site that unlocks something that people could get more involved with. I was looking at some of the blueprints, and I think the first one that MovieViral posted had like a section on the lower right side, and it has some words crossed off, and it says at the last part of it says see log 3.21_October 16, and I was thinking that maybe we'll at some point get some sort of pseudo terminal, sort of like the Super 8 ARG where we had that sort of. It was like a fake army computer. Mm-hmm. So we have something where we have to access a computer and find out some information about maybe failed Jaeger machines, because the story is that they have to use older machines, so maybe some of them failed and you have to find out cause them to fail or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems really interesting. And we were talking about this before we started the podcast. The one blueprint that you're mentioning also specifically says, and it's crossed out, like you mentioned, health checks returned radiochemical readings in excess of safety parameters involving the nuclear vortex turbine. So, you know, maybe that means something that, you know, there's a problem there and that they have to deal with that. I mean, there's always the question of how much of what we're seeing is important and how much is it just fluff, you know, just to make it look good. There's always, you know, a question there of, you know, how much do we really look into it? You know, you go to some of these other sites like Unforum and things like that. They're always, you know, diving into like the little nitty gritties and trying to take something out of anything. But sometimes, you know, sometimes it really is. You just never know. But yeah, I mean, I hope that, like you were saying, that there's some tie-in with the film that kind of makes it work nice. I think Super 8 did that well too. Like you mentioned, there's the terminal, and then you actually saw some things that we see kind of in the movie. And I thought there was a pretty good connection between the viral and the movie. So I agree. Something like that would be really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think, Caleb? Where do you think this might be going?
It could be like Cody said, the countdown could be anything. I'm thinking that we'll get some more blueprints, perhaps. Maybe a look at some bigger kaiju, because I was reading somewhere that they said the one shown in this video was the very first one, and they get bigger than that.
Wow.
So,
yeah, I mean,
we could get a thing where we have to, you know, maybe trace a signal to warn another country or something that one of these things is going to attack them. And, like, that's what I thought this was when I first saw, you know, the kaiju warning system test. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to have to, you know, get interactive with it and warn San Francisco that these things were coming. But it was just a video, and then we got these blueprints. So I'm hoping it does get more interactive.
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to tell a little bit of the story of how things started, because I imagine they're not going to have time to tell the whole thing. You know, like, you have to try to make everything you know, start at a certain point early. So they might have to go through some of it, obviously, to kind of explain to the general audience, okay, how did we get to where we are now? But, you know, there's only so much you can tell in a story, in a movie, without getting overbearing and having too much exposition. So right. I think that this is a good way, I think, of dealing with that. And we've seen in some other viral, that seems to be a really popular way of funneling and channeling how you're going to do your viral campaign and your ARG, is to tell people, okay, how did we get to where we are now? So this seems like they're kind of doing that a little bit. Like I said, the video that we saw is from only next year, yet they're showing these monsters or in the robots are from like 2017 and things like that. So it really seems like they're trying to tell a little bit of like, okay, how did we get to where we are now?
Definitely.
Yeah, I do agree that the whole scope of it being worldwide is really cool. I mean, the size of these things are just crazy. I mean, the one robot, for instance, is 288 feet tall, and like you see the little scale of the human next to it, it's just like, what? it's pretty crazy. So it seems like such a simple idea, yet it's like, how could you not be excited for it? You know, this idea of massive robots versus massive monsters. It's like, it sounds like a Sci-Fi Channel movie or something. But you know, with, you know, being Warner Brothers and having Guillermo del Toro, it's like you can't help but think, okay, this actually is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And plus, it has like a $200 million budget, so that doesn't hurt. So another big story from the week that we didn't talk about on our buzz, but I know that people were talking about it in general, was this whole Girl Meets World. It's the spinoff show from Boy Meets World, which many people, especially around our age, might know from growing up. And a lot of people grew up with the show, loved it. And so they're doing a spinoff where they're going to have back Danielle Fishel and Fred Savage. Is it Ben Savage? I think it's Ben Savage. they're brothers. It's okay. So they're going to have them back in their original roles as Cory and Topanga, but they're going to be parents to a child is 13 years old, a daughter, and, you know, it's about her kind of growing up kind of in a similar fashion. So I want to know what you guys think. I mean, they haven't had too much details about it in terms of how they're going to do it or even exactly when it's going to be released. But just the idea of them doing this and kind of going back to the world of Boy Meets World, I kind of want to get your guys' opinion on it. I'll start with Cody and JT.
You?
Yeah, I think this is really like an intriguing kind of story. Like when I first saw it, I was kind of almost blown away by like how this came out of nowhere. I wasn't too big of a fan of Boy Meets World. Like growing up, I never really caught its initial run, but I kind of saw it through reruns so I never really saw it chronologically. But it seems like a very like ambitious idea for TV, kind of getting all these actors back and kind of starting on like a new kind of project like that. Although I am kind of concerned of how Ryder Strong, who played Sean Hunter, it doesn't look like he's getting back into it, or at least he's saying that he has no official involvement in it. Because I found his character actually to be one of the more like interesting ones in the show.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes. But I'm pretty intrigued about the idea. Like, I'm definitely interested in it.
And I'm pretty excited about it. I think I caught the tail end of it when it was in its initial run. And I watched a lot of the reruns like the first couple years after it was off of air. Let's see. So I'm a little bit concerned about, I know that it was on, I think, was it on ABC, the original show?
I want to say yes.
I mean, it was a Disney-owned network, but I'm a little bit concerned about it becoming a Disney Channel show because, that I have anything against Disney Channel, but I think they're going to over-Disney Channelize it, if you know what I mean.
I think it's supposed to be on AMC Family, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Oh, it's going to be on ABC Family?
I think so. I think that's a little bit better, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm trying to see if it is Disney Channel. I apologize. It is Disney Channel. So I could see that. I mean, because believe me, I've seen an episode or two of Hannah Montana.
Disney Channel's gotten much worse than Hannah Montana.
Okay, well, then I'm really scared.
Oh, God.
But you never know. I mean, it's tough to say. It's tough to say where they'll go with this and if they are going to make it too silly. I mean, there was definitely some silly moments in Boy Meets World, but... Okay. Yeah, I have a similar concern.
Yeah. The other thing is, it looks like they're making it a show more about the daughter, since it's called Girl Meets World, and that the original characters are going to be more in a supporting role.
Right.
So it definitely would make sense that not all of the main cast would come back in a big role. So like Ryder Strong, for example, even though he was like probably one of the most popular parts of the original show, I just feel like
you kind of want to make it its own thing, so I kind of see that too.
Yeah,
and I think it'd be hard. I mean, in general, I wouldn't be surprised if you see them like doing like guest appearances and stuff.
Yeah, like cameos, like little pop. Yeah. Oh, for one episode. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So I think you might see that, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, these people aren't exactly busy, so
fever.
Yeah, exactly. hey, that was not too terrible. No,
but pancakes.
Yeah, so I think you'll see something like that, but they're trying to probably make it about her. You know, you gotta have the people in there so that you get the nostalgia factor, but they want to make sure it's something that a newer audience is going to be able to appreciate as well. But we'll see if it's any good. I don't know, Caleb, do you have any feelings about it?
Boy Meets World wasn't really on my radar growing up. So I really, I'm not really excited about this. I mean, it's nice that they're doing it, but I just feel like this is one of those things that everyone's doing these days is, trying to reboot, older series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Boy Meets World, I don't think there was ever really any cry to, like, do a reboot of that or, bring it back on air. I'll check it out, but, if Disney Channel's going to make it like, Jesse or one of these stupid shows I have on now, it has no chance of, surviving.
Yeah, I haven't heard about anybody who's actually, like, involved with it, like, behind the scenes, like, like, writers and stuff like that, so it'd be interesting to see who those are, because maybe that will tell us a little bit of something.
Yeah, it sounds really problematic, too, trying to appeal to this older generation that grew up with Boy Meets World, and then also trying to appeal to, like, a younger generation. I don't know how like they'll find like a good balance between the two.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough. But yeah, when it comes to the channels that we know of as being bad, I mean CW is another one. So I mean, but there's times where they surprise you. Smallville was good for a while, and Arrow's been good so far, I think. So I think there's times where you can kind of say, okay, get the right people, and then maybe the network doesn't quite matter as much. But, you know, that's just wishful thinking. And, you know, people
wait and see kind of thing.
Yeah, it really is, and that's usually the case. But for people my age, maybe, I think, you know, a few years older maybe than you guys are, that was something that was big growing up. I was about 8 when it first came on the air, so a lot of people my age, a couple years after it came out, is when we started really watching it. And it kind of became a big part of a lot of our kids, because it was very, you know, familiar. It wasn't anything crazy or weird. It was very kind of hit home for a lot of us. So that was something that I think a lot of people I've seen people on my Facebook page and stuff, for instance, you know, like, oh man, you know, Gremlins World. So they're excited for the idea, but, you know, the question is whether it be, if it'll live up to the idea. And by the way, Danielle Fishel goes to Cal State Fullerton, which is where I work. I've seen her a couple times on campus. So it's kind of funny to see. Like, we just saw her like about a week before they made the first announcements of it. So I was like, hey, now she, I wonder if she'll still keep going to school. So we'll go into the real buzz news that we're talking about this week. You know, the buzz is a story article that where we write about the three most talked about stories of the week from comments on various news blogs, and then also we give a couple other headlines. So we kind of want to talk about those. There've been some really interesting stories. Probably the biggest thing that got the most people talking was this whole Justice League news about Joseph Gordon-Levitt possibly playing Batman. So, you know, obviously it's just a rumor. His reps actually came out and said there's no truth to it, but, you know, who knows if that means anything. But that's been the rumor, was that he would actually come back as his character, John Blake, to play Batman in Justice League. Kind of interesting idea. We know that Man of Steel is supposed to kind of start off this whole continuity thing that will be in Justice League, because Zack Snyder kind of alluded to that this week. So, you know, it makes sense that they're trying to find ways to connect these films together. So I kind of want to know what you guys think about the idea of it. If it were to happen, you know, who knows, if it might be completely a pipe dream and just a fake rumor. But, you know, would you guys be cool with the idea of John Blake being Batman in Justice League? I'll start with Caleb, I guess.
Yeah, I'd totally be cool with John Blake being Batman. You know, if they can find a way to connect Man of Steel with Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, with the whole with the whole philosophy of Batman being, you know, a symbol and not a person, then, you know, yeah, definitely, I'm all for it. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's one of my favorite actors. He did a great job in the role of John Blake. So, you know, but for right now, it's just a rumor. Everyone call me your tits. You know, I know there are a lot of fangirls out there, you know, getting all excited, you know, just calm down, you know.
Girls love Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's the one thing I found out, because I'll talk to people about, like, when I go to Comic-Con and WonderCon, and I do roundtable interviews with some, you know, actors and directors and stuff, and then, you know, sometimes people go, oh, you know, who have you met? And so I list off a few people, and it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt that girls always stop me at, because, like, they love Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, he's like, wait, you met Joseph Gordon-Levitt? I was like, yeah. Like, I've met Chris Nolan. I don't know what, like, and you guys are so excited about Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So it's really funny, like, the idea that the girls love him, so that's a good way maybe to get the female audience in there. what do you think, Cody and JT?
Yeah, initially I was really excited for this, because I was kind of like, I was like positive, you know, like, oh, Nolan's Batman universe is done after Dark Knight Rises. So when this news popped up, I'm like, oh, wow, they're actually like considering expanding that, and that got me really excited. Although I'm kind of hesitant about kind of seeing like a Batman that isn't Bruce Wayne on screen, especially for like audiences that aren't too familiar with him.
Right.
But I think overall, I think it tells us kind of their plans towards like the tone of like the Justice League movies. Like, I feel like they're going to try to stick with like the more darker themes, which I'm totally down for. I'd like it to be kind of like separate from the Avengers. Like, I'd be really disappointed if they come out with a Justice League movie and it's like a ripoff of Avengers being like happy and, you know, overly funny, happy and stuff like that. So yeah. I think this is kind of good insight as to like what they're aiming for in the movie, which is good. But again, it's all speculation from here, so it's, yeah, nothing to get up in arms about.
Yeah, I don't know if I have much to add about this topic. Everybody pretty much said everything that I had thoughts about Joseph Gordon-Levitt being cast as Batman for the next Justice League movie. One thing, though, that I was just kind of a side note, I'm, like, a little bit concerned about how we're only having the Man of Steel movie, and then we're going right into Justice League, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that how the lineup for the next couple? And then there's going to be some more movies after that with the other heroes?
Right. As far as we know, we don't know if there's anything going to come out in 2014, but I doubt. There doesn't seem to be anything on the fast track.
Right. So I'm just like a little bit worried about that, because I felt like with the Marvel movies, I don't want the DC movies necessarily not stop being gritty. I want them to stay gritty, kind of like what JT said. But at the same time, like, there's no building of anticipation for it. Like, they had the movies and we could follow the saga of the separate heroes and then see how they kind of join up at the end. This is kind of like, we're doing one hero or two heroes, and then we're doing the big movie, and then disperse, and we're doing all the different movies. And it just seems like it's not as going to be as effective.
Right. It's a different way of doing it, you know, and I agree. Like, there's something – it's interesting that they're going to try to do it a different way. And they've mentioned it before. I've read some things before about the idea that they want to kind of start off with the Justice League and then have that branch off into these other movies. So it's kind of like a starting point for a lot of these characters. I kind of like that idea. I'd be interested to see how that plays out. But I think that that's kind of a different way of doing it, because I think it'd be harder for them to do what Marvel has done with the Avengers, because they already have Dark Knight Rises, you know, that trilogy. Right. They have Superman already going. I think that trying to kind of say, okay, let's hold on, let's do all these things, and then do a Justice League, I think that it'd be a little more challenging because there's so much stuff already in play. I think they kind of want to get it going because they know how good Avengers was, and they want to get that going and then start up. Because if they try to do what Avengers did, I mean, you might not see a Justice League movie for 8 years, like the way that Warner Brothers does it. So, you know, they've already had issues with making movies. So the idea of trying to say, okay, let's wait and make this perfect, and then, oh God, we'll never see it. So I think they just said, okay, we know this can work because, you know, Avengers was a very unique situation that's never been done. This whole, like, having, you know, all these superheroes in separate movies, these big budget films, and then put them together into one movie, you know, you don't really see that. And so that was sort of an experiment that obviously worked very, very well. And Warner Brothers is like, hey, let's try this, but let's, you know, we got to get this Justice League movie out, and then we can use it as a starting point instead. So I think that's kind of maybe where they're going with it, you know. That's my philosophy for it. I do agree with the issue of not having Bruce Wayne as Batman might be a turnoff for the general public, because very few times has Batman not been Bruce Wayne, especially on the big screen. He's never been. So the idea that, you know, choosing a different character to play him might kind of throw people off. But if they are saying that it's connected to the Dark Knight trilogy, then it makes sense. I mean, they set that trilogy, and especially the last movie, up perfectly for the idea of there being a different person playing Batman in the future. Because, like Caleb said, he's just a symbol, and, you know, and the obviously the very end of Dark Knight Rises, it's like, if you were ever going to have that kind of connection, that's exactly where you're going to have to go with it. So, I like the idea, and obviously I agree that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a great actor, and it'd be kind of a nice way of saying, okay, you know, let's do something different. You know, Bruce Wayne, especially in the Dark Knight trilogy, wasn't really a team player, probably. So the idea of him joining a Justice League might be a little bit too much for people, because it was so dark and because he was so, you know, traumatized and how he was in his head. But having someone like John Blake is maybe a little more realistic of a situation for him joining Justice League. That's kind of where I'm maybe kind of going with it too. So, you know, but who knows? Maybe let us create a new Robin and then have him play Nightwing. I've heard that too. I've heard Nightwing being in Justice League. Someone said that they should do that, and I was like, okay, now you're getting a little bit. You have to have Batman and Superman in Justice League. Like, by default, you can't not have. That's probably the only two where you absolutely cannot take them out of Justice League. They have to be in Justice League. So, I mean, I don't know why. How would you do that otherwise?
Exactly.
All the other ones you can kind of play with. You know, I know that they've been trying to make the Flash movie forever. And Wonder Woman, they've had issues with that, trying to do another TV show now. So, you know, they've been having a lot of trouble with their characters, but, like, you know, maybe that would be a good way to kind of start some of these guys off, like Martian Manhunter or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'd ever see a Martian Manhunter movie, but at least we can see him in Justice League.
Sure.
So the other big story, one of the other ones was that Star Trek Into Darkness, the sequel to J.J. Abrams' 2009 Star Trek, had gotten official synopsis just this week. And basically it's just talking about the idea that there's an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization. And so the overall thing kind of makes it sound a lot like the Carrie Mitchell story, which is an episode of the original series where they go to like the edge of the universe, I think, or edge of the galaxy, and then he becomes like a different being and he just wreaks havoc and everything. So it sounds like it's kind of like that because Gary Mitchell was someone on board the Enterprise. Some people have said that that's not what it's going to be, especially in a Badass Digest had an article about it. And they did actually do his story in the IDW comics last year. So, you know, maybe I don't know how much you guys know about Star Trek, but what do you guys think about the Gary Mitchell story? Do you think they'll do that, or would you like to see it go a different way? With Cody and JT this time.
Okay. This is the one I was excited about talking about. I'm pretty sure that it is Gary Mitchell. I don't know much about the IDW comics. I've actually been interested in reading them, but I haven't had a chance yet to get my hands on the comic. But I'm pretty sure it's Gary Mitchell. Do you guys remember when they leaked those photos back in April? There were a couple of leaked photos from the set.
Yeah, from Benedict.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, one of them shows Benedict Cumberbatch and Spock fighting, and in the background there's, I don't know if they're stunt people or if they're other actors, but you could read it two ways, but if you read them as other actors in the image, then Benedict Cumberbatch is wearing the same outfit as another crew member, and they're wearing, so he's got to be somebody that was literally on the crew, just like in the synopsis it says it's somebody within. I don't think it would be Khan, because Khan was like, he was from Earth, but he was not part of like Starfleet. And the whole description about like epic chess game of life and death and like mass destruction. Basically, it's kind of like he's got like telepathic powers and he can manipulate matter. Gary Mitchell, for anybody that doesn't know, he was in the pilot episode of the original Star Trek series. And I just think that it perfectly fits the description. There's also a rumor a while ago about casting of what was the actress's name? Alice Eve was her name.
Right.
They made a big deal about her being cast because, and if you watch the original episode, I don't know. Should I spoil? I don't want to like. I'll just say it really fast. She ends up like kind of sacrificing herself in the end to save Captain Kirk, the character Denner, Dr. Denner, who's this blonde girl, this blonde woman in the original episode. And Alice Eve looks like she could totally play Elizabeth Denner. Not only Benedict Cumberbatch, but this other character that was played into the original storyline of the original episode. And it really seems likely that that would be the case from all this different stuff that I've been putting together like a puzzle.
And he's been one of the... Him and Khan have been two big villains that people have been rumoring were going to be the central villain. So, you know, the fact that we've already had that as one of our options, and then this sounds very much like him, for me, it's kind of going, you know, even with the comics, supposedly, actually, I think Caleb actually read them, saying that they actually, you know, talk about the whole storyline. It's kind of like, okay, well, where are they going to go from here? Are they going to ignore the comics? I don't know. I kind of go, Caleb, since I think you said you read those comics.
No, I didn't read them. I've been meaning to, because I do read, you know, comic books,
but you knew it was in them, right?
But I was reading an interview with one of the writers. I don't remember if it was Kurtzman or Orsi, or if it was Abrams or one of the producers, but somebody said that they were dropping hints in those comics. And so when I read the synopsis and I went and did some research on Gary Mitchell, because I hadn't seen the original series, that episode in a while, so I didn't really remember. But there was a long, you know, description of what had happened in the comics. And then I remember, because Cody brought up those set pics, and they'd said that Spock had given Gary Mitchell a Vulcan nerve pinch. And in one of those pictures, it depicts Spock, you know, giving Gary Mitchell, Benedict Cumberbatch's character, I don't know if it's Mitchell or not, a Vulcan nerve pinch. So I'm like, wait a minute, you know, they're definitely, you know, doing that whole comic hint thing. And so I was also putting those pieces together. And I made the mistake of it I said, you know, this definitely sounds like Khan, but then you said no, Gary Mitchell. And that's when I started really digging into Mitchell's backstory and all that. So I definitely think it's Gary Mitchell now.
Yeah, I want to read the comics. I remember reading the countdown one before that came up before the first Star Trek in 2009.
Yeah.
And that was cool. And that really gave you some nice backstory. So,
yeah.
So it was really, and it was part of it. And they've said, I think it was Orkin and Kurtzman said that those comics are canon. So it's kind of weird, like, you know, like I said, are they going to ignore that? Are they going to rehash it a little bit? Like, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably wouldn't make sense to completely rehash the comics, but it might, because not everyone reads comic books, and I don't think a lot of people know that those Star Trek comics exist. They're the ones based on the Abrams universe. So, you know, it's a wait and see sort of thing. I'm wondering if maybe the 9 minutes we'll see before The Hobbit might be a bit of backstory.
Exactly. Yeah,
hopefully you don't have to wait too long.
Yeah, hopefully that tells us a lot. Yeah, that'll be a big, no matter what, I can't imagine them doing 9 minutes without giving us some kind of hint as to what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they will, but that would surprise me if they were able to go that long without giving us any kind of like real hint as to who Cumberbatch is playing.
They gotta announce it finally.
I'm interested in knowing if Cumberbatch used an American accent or if he's using his English accent. I'd like him to use his English accent. That's my favorite one. That's, well, his voice.
Well, I've never heard that matters. American like, accent. It might depend on his character.
He's an actor. He should have one.
It might depend on who his character is. You know, I know Khan had a little bit of an accent, but that's just because... He has one already, so I don't think it was necessarily meant to be. But and for me, I felt like if you're going to do the Khan story, like I think you got to make Khan like really like impressive looking, because I get it. Like back in the day, they didn't have that ability really, but nowadays it's like if you're going to say that you made like these genetically superior beings, they should look genetically superior. You know, I don't think.
Right.
I mean, sure, Khan had that face or the breastplate or whatever. You know, the fake chest. In the movie, so they did that a little bit, but I think you really gotta, like, you know, if you're gonna say that you made genetically superior beings, you should make them look like steroids or something, like, you know.
Right.
So someone like Cumberbatch doesn't seem like he quite has that look to him, where he's like a superior kind of physical being. So that's another reason why I don't think he's Khan. I mean, he might actually be physically stronger, but I would think the look would be there as well. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Speaking of looks, remember they had cast... it was Benicio Del Toro that was supposed to play Cumberbatch's part before Cumberbatch was cast, right?
Yes.
Right. I think that's kind of what started the whole Khan speculation, because he is Benicio Del Toro. I mean, he could actually pull off Khan a lot better. Ricardo Montalban style.
Exactly, yeah.
Khan.
Yeah. But he also... Del Toro also looks like Gary Lockwood, the actor who portrayed Gary Mitchell in the original Star Trek series. He looks like him a little bit. Also, if Carl Urban wasn't playing Dr. McCoy, he
oh, he looks a lot like him, yeah.
Resembles.
He looks a lot like the actor. That would be interesting. No, yeah, so we'll have to see. I mean, I can't wait. Definitely going to see Hobbit in IMAX, because I really want to see... those 9 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think we're all
going to go see it too here.
Yeah, really, we're all excited for that. So that'll be a huge tell. And we'll obviously have to talk about that once that comes out.
Sure.
Yeah, and so the other big story is from the week, our third one of the week, was the X-Men Days of Future Past, which is the sequel to the prequel, X-Men First Class. It starts getting kind of confusing here. So that one's supposed to come out in 2014. The big story has been some of the actors they've got for it. Because Days of Future Past in the comics has a little bit of a time travel kind of a thing, there's been some talk that maybe they'll bring in some of the original cast from the first X-Men movies that take place in the future, and it looks like that's what they are doing. They've confirmed, actually Bryan Singer, the director, himself confirmed that Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen will be back as Professor X and Magneto, and supposedly Hugh Jackman is also in talks to play Wolverine. So... The Days of Future Past, I think, is a really interesting storyline where you have the Sentinels in the future. Everything's complete crap, and they're putting like X-Men and mutants into like containment camps or something. And so Kitty Pryde in the original story, she comes back and has to tell them back in this time frame, hey, you know, all this crap's happening. Like, you guys got to make sure that this senator doesn't get killed, so that way this doesn't happen. The senator that's in the comic is actually the senator that we see in the original X-Men movie. So I don't think they would do that because the timeline doesn't quite match up. But I don't know. So they might try to diverge that out. But what do you guys? I mean, it seems like you can't be upset about these casting choices. So, but I'm gonna, what do you guys think about them though? Do Caleb first.
I absolutely love it. I mean, there's absolutely nothing to complain about, I don't think. I was talking about this with a couple of friends, and they were like complaining that Hugh Jackman was in talks. I'm like, well, why are you upset about Hugh Jackman possibly coming back as Wolverine? I'm like, because, you know, Hugh Jackman, he's not a good Wolverine. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I know.
Like, the best. He's the only person I think who could play Wolverine. Obviously, that's not true, because, you know, if someone tried, then they, you know, I could play Wolverine if I tried.
That'd be interesting.
You should do it.
I think I will.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
I'm really excited about this. I love time travel movies. I love alternate realities. And this seems like a really interesting project. So I wasn't sure if they're going to go with a sequel to First Class, like if that would serve as a whole new X-Men series or not. But I'm glad, you know, that it's not, that they're actually, you know, connecting this with the original films. I don't think there ever was any doubt that it wasn't supposed to be a direct prequel to the original X-Men movies, but you know,
there's some continuity errors.
Official
so.
Now.
But that's one of the things that they've talked about, is that there are some continuity errors between First Class and then the original X-Men series, like how Professor X gets paralyzed, that kind of stuff. So there's some things like that. Although they've obviously clearly showed that there's a connection, because you had Hugh Jackman's cameo and you had Rebecca Romijn cameo. So they were definitely trying to imply that it's all part of the same universe. But there have been some slight continuity errors, and then some people were saying that this movie, because it does deal with time travel, might find a way to kind of deal with that a little bit. So
yeah, actually, in the comics, actually, the at the end, the future that takes place is actually changed into an alternative future.
Right.
So I don't know if that will go into it. But overall, though, I think this is like definitely like an ideal kind of casting thing. Like X2 is one of like my favorite superhero movies. Mm. So the fact that both Bryan Singer, the director, and I mean the cast is coming back to join like X-Men First Class, which is also like a great movie, is like totally ideal. But I also kind of like how these comic book movies are really kind of taking their more out there stories, I guess you could call them, like involving time travel.
Right.
And like the Avengers is going into space with Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. So I kind of like that boldness in films coming out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that
it seems like Marvel isn't afraid to take these kinds of risks. Maybe that's what DC should do.
Yeah. DC needs to get a decent movie off the ground. then they'll maybe. In general, the idea is that Marvel, even when it's not even Marvel Studios, they seem to be able to do all these things. You know, Sony with their Spider-Man movies, and maybe Fantastic Four we kind of forget about, but the other ones, you know, they've been pretty successful in getting their movies off the ground. Whereas Warner Brothers, who've had DC forever, they've been having trouble. So I mean, then that's a whole other topic that we kind of talked about in Caleb's Saturday Morning Rejects podcast. But that's goes into it a little bit, and I think that because Marvel's had so much success with their movies, that now it's like, okay, you know, the time frame also, because all these people being able to appreciate the comic book movies, you know, the audience, now they can kind of go, okay, let's see what we can do. Let's make this a little more interesting. And that's great. I mean, like you said, I mean, that makes it a lot more interesting to try to see different, more out there stories instead of everything trying to be grounded and gritty and realistic. It's like, okay, well, let's try to span this out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So, and I agree. I mean, you can't go wrong with having the original cast members back. Because I agree, X-Men X2 is awesome. So,
what were you saying? I just hope everyone else decides to come back too.
There's some people saying that they. I think I saw a poll on comicbookmovie.com asking who else would you like to have come back. And actually, I was really surprised that Cyclops was number one. Although I know Cyclops is a popular character in general, I don't know how many people really appreciated the way he was portrayed in the films. What do you guys think about Cyclops in general?
Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I like him in the comics. I mean, I didn't think he was too bad in the movies, but I definitely wouldn't put him up there with one of like the characters I want to see return the most.
James Marsden, you don't want him back?
Yeah. I want Jameson. I want James back.
I like him.
He's done with. Well, he'll be done with 30 Rock in time, I think, because it's like in its final season. So.
Yeah, I mean, and I like him actually. He's a good actor. He doesn't always get the best roles. He gets sort of like the side roles and stuff. I think there was a thing I saw online where it's like he's always the guy losing the girl. You know, like in Superman Returns and stuff. So it'd be kind of I'd like to see some more if they can get him. It'd be interesting to see them. I mean, this is a good start, definitely, though. Well, Ellen Page was she Kitty?
Yeah, she was Kitty Pryde.
So, I mean,
or was she Shadowcat? Is that the same person as Shadowcat and Kitty Pryde? The same?
I think so, or really similar. I don't know. Sometimes you see these people that have, like, very similar powers, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, she's Kitty Pryde. Yeah, Shadowcat and Kitty Pryde are the same person.
No, that'd be interesting, because, you know, that's the whole point of the Days of Future Past, is that it's her, like, consciousness or something going back into time. So it'd be kind of interesting to see if they do, were able to get her back so that they could do that. Now, granted, they've had a couple actresses play Kitty Pryde so, in the various movies, so... There's no reason it has to be her. But
the last stand.
She was the last. Did you know, if you know, assuming that Hugh Jackman does do a cameo or whatever his role will be in Days of Future Past, that'll be the 7th time he'll play Wolverine.
Jeez!
Wow!
Isn't that crazy?
I think he's the most consistent actor in a comic book movie role.
It's so, gotta be.
So what would the 7 be? Would be the 3 X-Men movies.
Yep. Then you have the these will be the 2. Pre-X-Men movies, then you'll have...
Wolverine.
Then you have...
He in the Hulk? No. For like a second or something?
No. But he was in the Wolverine, the X-Men Origins Wolverine, and then he'll be in the new Wolverine sequel that's coming out next year. So So between all those, it'll be 7 times he'll play the Wolverine.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So if he were in the movie, would he be only in the future timeline, or would he actually be in the present one as well?
Well,
would he not join the team?
Well, they've obviously shown... that he could be in any of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of... That almost doesn't tell us anything, the fact that he's negotiating it, because he could be in either one. He might be in both.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that'd be kind of a cool way to have a thread between that, where you have the same guy looking the same. Because they obviously showed him in First Class looking how he looks, and then he doesn't have to be part of the team. They could still be involved somehow. Because you still have to worry about a lot... All those other movies, you have to worry about the canon kind of mixing. But, again, maybe they deal with that with the whole time travel thing. So... And the different timelines and everything. So maybe they deal with that that way. But you can't not have the... I'm trying to remember. Like, it's so confusing, all the different movies they have. Because you've had you've had all the X-Men movies, and you've had the Wolverine movie. And it's like, God, like, okay, so what can he and can't he do because of all these movies? So, you know, we'll see if they can fit that in correctly. Kind of going continuous the Marvel comics. There's been 2 interesting stories this week about Guardians of the Galaxy. One's a little bit not really about Guardians of the Galaxy, but ties into it. But we'll go with the real story. So there's some people that are testing supposedly for Guardians of the Galaxy. What looks like it'll probably be the role of the Star-Lord. And so it's Joel Edgerton, Lee Pace, Jim Sturgis, Jack Huston, and Eddie Redmayne. So it's I like these guys, especially like Lee Pace. I'm a big fan of Lee Pace. He was just recently in Lincoln, and he was on that Pushing Daisies. Do you guys have any kind of, you know, do you guys care who plays that role? Or, I mean, in general, maybe this is a good way to talk about what do you guys think about Guardians of the Galaxy and maybe where they're going with that. I'll start with Cody and JT.
I'm not really familiar with much about Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'm pretty much game for anything. JC probably.
I don't know too much about them. Although I would love, I know on the shortlist for who's playing the main is Jack Huston. He's from Boardwalk Empire, and he's like a great character on that show. So I'd love to see him in the movie. But other than that, I don't really know about the character and if he would make a good fit. But I'm interested in it to see how that kind of plays into the Avengers 2 coming out. So, yeah.
What about you, Caleb?
This is actually really funny because the story came out as the same day I saw Les Miserables, and Eddie Redmayne is in that. And having seen that film and then trying to see him in Guardians of the Galaxy as Star-Lord, it just doesn't fit. So like James Marsden or Joel Edgerton, one of those two. I know nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy except that they're like... a team of aliens who fight Thanos in outer space. Yeah. And Nova helps them out sometimes. So
yeah,
that's basically all I know.
This one's some talk about because they've dealt with other heroes and stuff that maybe they kind of are able to kind of fit Nova into the storyline and everything. So yeah, now so I know Star-Lord is supposed to be son of a human mother and alien father. So he's sort of like he's an interplanetary policeman. So that's
really.
So that's according to Wikipedia. So
sounds like Spock with superpowers.
I heard that he was a pilot who got injured or something, and that was fixed up with alien technology or something. I don't know.
Might be.
Maybe that's the other version, because there are several. There are two versions of the Guardians of the Galaxy. There's the old version. Well, that was gonna be three.
Because you grew up on Earth.
The old version, the newer version, which was like back in 2008. And then the Marvel Now, which is Marvel Comics reboot of several storylines, like right. What DC did back in August of last year. And they're doing this just because, I think they're doing Guardians of the Galaxy for Marvel Now just because of this new movie. So we might see some inspiration from this new comic book series. But
His character is someone who grew up on Earth, and he grew up to be an astronaut, and then that's where it kind of starts. So, I think that there's an interesting discussion there about, Guardians of the Galaxy is not, and we've even shown it right here, it's not a big mainstream property that people know a lot about. So, how are they going to get the public excited for it? Obviously, just being at Comic-Con and them announcing it, people were just going crazy, but that's because that's Comic-Con. You have a very
specific, they know everything about everything.
Yeah, you have a very you have a very specific audience there, so they have to make it more broad, depending on their budget, especially. But they would need to make it a little more broad for people. So just to see what they do, maybe they like you said, the comics or other mediums in order to media to get them to actually put this in people's minds. Who are these characters? What is it that they do? How do they tie in? People have got to buy into it, if you will. So
this is in the same world as Avengers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe they could tie it into the next couple movies that are coming out, like Captain America 2 and Iron Man 3. Maybe they could have some of that in there too.
Right. That's a good point. They should try to put seeds in some places. I mean, obviously Avengers is going to be a big part for them too, supposedly. They probably will be there because their main villain, supposedly, in the movie, in Guardians of the Galaxy movie, is going to be Thanos.
Right.
So, obviously they'll then have a role in Avengers 2, but before that they have to deal with it. So maybe something like Iron Man 3 and Captain America, especially Thor. I think Thor probably might be the best option because he is someone from a different planet. So, right. All these other ones are trying to be a little more Earth-based, but his might be the most easiest one to kind of throw in maybe some little tidbits there about the Guardians. So, yeah, that would be a really good opportunity for them to kind of get this into people's minds. Like, okay, who are these people and what do they do?
And it's worked for them so far, putting little seeds after the credits every single movie.
Yeah, that's been the big thing. I mean, and they'll do it again. They'll probably, they'll do it for Iron Man 3 and Captain America. So that might be an opportunity for them to kind of do that. I'm interested to see. I mean, it looks cool. I mean, the idea of them having a talking raccoon is really exciting. Just to see what they're going to do. The guy that plays Merle on Walking Dead, supposedly he might do the voice of the raccoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's
actually a really good friend with James Gunn.
Exactly, and that's pretty much the reason why he might get it, because he did that film Slither with him. So there's that would be interesting. Yeah, I like him, and he has a good kind of rough voice that kind of might be kind of cool for him. So the other story that involves Guardians of the Galaxy is about James Gunn, the director.
Dun.
I know. So this is a really interesting story that got a lot of people talking. A couple years ago, he'd written, there was actually two different articles about, superheroes that you wouldn't have sex with. And there was a list. I think they had actually done some kind of poll or something. And he was the one that put it on his blog. And it was very sexist and over the top, talking about like Tony Stark trying to turn one of the lesbian ones and how one superhero, because she's a teen mom, she's probably easy, and really kind of, it was pretty obviously over the top. Whether it was funny or not, obviously you can, that's up to interpretation, but there's no doubt it was satire. James Gunn has been someone who's been vocal about, equality for homosexuality and stuff like that, so he's someone who is not, you should be able to tell, if you know him at all, then that this was not meant to be, real. He did not actually believe what he was saying. He was not saying things just because that's what he thinks. He's saying it in a very satirical way. But some people got a hold of this recently, even though this is like 2 years old, and they made a big fuss about it. There was a a human rights organization, not GLAAD. I'm trying to remember what their name is now, but they had said something about it, and basically it just came to this whole talk about, oh, it's, you know, he's sexist or whatever, and they'd actually had suggested that he be fired from the Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's like, okay. And so a lot of us are kind of like, okay, you guys need to relax. And there's a great article actually from a female on the Badass Digest about how, like, okay, this is way blown out of proportion. This is obviously a joke. I don't know what you guys are thinking. So I know you guys probably haven't seen too much about it, but I kind of want to know maybe what you guys think about this and about this idea of this coming up just now and all of a sudden people getting all upset about it. Let's start with Caleb, I guess.
Well, you know, when I first heard about this, I thought, you know, maybe, yeah, this is something that's pretty horrible and, you know, sexist and homophobic. But then I read it, and I'm like, where are they getting all this stuff? Like, this is, like, some of it's, like, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, laughing my ass off. It was like, oh, my God, you know, it's just James Gunn being James Gunn. Like, if you saw Super, or if you've seen any of his movies, you know what, you know, the kind of stuff that he makes. And if you follow him on Twitter, I mean, he says, you know, not a lot of the same stuff, but, you know, a lot of crude, you know, humor and whatnot is, you know, tweeted out by him. So, you know, I didn't really see anything wrong with it. And all these people, like, making this big deal over it, over one post. I mean, you know, it was number 32, right? Batwoman.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a few things that he had written that they were taking an issue with. But I think the big ones were the idea of turning a lesbian superhero, which might have been that one, and then also the idea of the teen mom being easy. Those were probably the two biggest ones that people were kind of, like, specifically mentioning. So,
I mean, aren't teen moms easy?
yes, of course. what do you guys think, Cody and JT?
Yeah, I'm not too upset with it. I mean, it was too, like, he did kind of send out a poll and he had people vote and then it was kind of his commentary. And it is, I mean, a lot of it is kind of just guy talk, if you will. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he does cross the line several times. But, I mean, he's known to do that in his movies, like, Super. Yeah. But I think it's actually a good time that this came out now as opposed to, like, later on closer to the movie coming out, because it would have caused, like, with the stir and the movie coming out, like, the movie studio could have panicked or something and delayed the release. So I'm glad it kind of came out now, and it'll be, like, forgotten about by the time the movie comes on.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of hope it kind of blows over a little bit, because it's just kind of silly.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of ridiculous. People in the entertainment industry sometimes, like, especially people that do, like, slight, you know, comedic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Super was a comedy, right?
Yeah, Super.
Yeah, it was, like, a dark comedy. Mm-hmm. Their job is to not to offend, but maybe to be offensive. You know what I mean? There's kind of a slight difference.
Right.
It's just their job. It's for the sake of humor, and that the things that they write aren't necessarily their beliefs, and that blogs are places where you should be able to write whatever you want, not be attacked. And it kind of feels kind of like almost like a political campaign where they're dredging up information from years ago to try and attack somebody with, but it's ridiculous because it's a filmmaker and it's not like a politician. I don't know. It bugs me a little bit, but I think it would have been better if it came out when it happened and then it would have blown over years ago. Mm-hmm. And then now we wouldn't be worrying about it at the start of this production. But no, I don't think it's a big deal at all. I don't think it should be a big deal at all.
Yeah. You gotta know who this guy is. I mean,
yeah. The only big deal is that these people are making a big deal out of it. So I'm more upset at them than at him for doing his job.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I mean, I get really upset with these groups that think, like, they have, like, this moral responsibility to, like, find every little piece of dirt on people.
Right.
And just, like, they're so, like, PETA is probably, like, one of the worst examples where, like, they say they're supposed to be, like, this group for the rights, but they just do, like, terrible things. and they just, like, shame people, and they just want to make everyone look bad. It's like they're not spending their money or their time on important things. They're trying to find, like, these most arbitrary things and blowing them out of proportion and trying to make it sound like, oh, this person's so against us. It's like, whoa, you know, relax.
James Gunn, is this his first, like, big studio production?
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah, in terms of
this is the problem is, like, they're also, like, basically they're attempting to, like, ruin somebody's career before it's, like, even started. And it's like they're trying to find these little people that they know that they can try and attack and get away with it, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it just that frustrates me.
Right?
I want to know what, you know, caused them to, like, dig this up.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, out of nowhere.
Like, it was posted at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, you know, it was February 11th of last year. And I'm trying to read the original article that really kind of stemmed everything was from themarysue.com. She wrote about it, and like Caleb said, she was specifically showed the post for number 32, which was Batwoman. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to see, and the link's on there, and plus the link that we give on the site show you some of the, how you can still see the article, even though he took it down. But yeah, I mean, there's really not any kind of explanation as to, like, how she found it. So, I, you know, where how it came to her attention. So, I mean, I just don't know why, after all this time...
Some sort of disgruntled fan.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pointed her in the right direction. It's like, hey, I saw Super, and then I went to...
Yeah, maybe she likes...
Or like, I ran into James Gunn in New York City and he didn't say hi to me, so here, you know, ruin his career.
Yeah, but I just love the title of it. So here's the slut-shaming homophobic post on superheroes by the director of Guardians of the Galaxy. That's her title. It's like,
God, it's like such loaded words, and it's not anything like that.
Yeah, it's like, do you not understand satire? I think she mentioned somewhere in here about how people might say it's satire, but she doesn't think so. It's like, I don't see, I mean, it's one thing if you don't think the jokes are funny, but it's another thing to just ignore the fact that they're clearly satire. I mean, no one makes that over the top. Like, very few people, especially someone in that kind of position where he's been in the industry for a while. They said he hasn't had a lot of huge directing things, but he's done a lot of writing and he's been in the industry for a while. No one like that is going to make something like that unless they are obviously doing it for satirical purposes. And he's sort of commenting on the fact that in the comic book industry in general, people can be a little bit sexist and kind of saying a little bit of what he's saying. I mean, it's obviously... I don't see how you don't see that. So, I think it's just kind of silly. So, yeah, hopefully it blows over, you know, us talking about it may not help, but I don't think it matters.
I think in a month, 2 months, like, we're going to be like, oh, we talked about that?
Yeah.
It's going to be like, whatever, and it'll be nothing.
I think
fortunately too, like, I don't think it really got that big either. Like, I hadn't really read about it until earlier this morning, so I don't think it really blew up too much either, which is good.
Yeah.
I think it'll be like one of those spoilers you read before you see a movie, and then like you go to see the movie and you're worrying about remembering this spoiler, but then you're like watching it and it's like, I don't remember anything that I read.
Yeah. Well, it's like trailers. Like, people always complain about trailers, how, like, oh, they showed too much, but then you watch it and you don't think about those things. You don't think about the little scenes that you saw because they don't mean anything to you in the trailer. So yeah. It's kind of like that. Yeah, for me, what really kind of got me on, I mean, in general, just seeing it maybe, Max, I'm a big James Gunn fan, but the thing that got me, that got it posted on our Buzz article was the fact that, as of right now, on that, the Badass Digest commentary on it has 675 comments. Wow. So that alone made me kind of go, oh, this is worth talking about. But yeah, I agree. I think maybe a lot of the mainstream audience maybe hasn't really heard about it yet, which is, you know, for the best.
And I like how even though the thing is taken down, people are still commenting on it.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Yeah.
That's funny. So yeah, hopefully that blows over. And the other big story I want to talk about, I mean, is Star Wars. There's been all this stuff about Star Wars since the day they announced that Disney had bought Lucasfilm and that they were making a new one. So there's been all kinds of rumors about who's going to write what, who's going to direct what. We do have a writer for the first movie, but there's still no directors yet. There's an actor who supposedly had kind of confirmed that maybe Matthew Vaughn was going to direct the first one. It was Jason Fleming had said that. And then there's also been some talk that who the writers might be for, there might be some spin-offs and stuff. I just want to use this as a way for you guys to say, like, who do you think should direct the next Star Wars? And maybe a little bit of where do you think it should go? I'll start with Caleb.
You know, I don't have a person in mind. Well, where should it go? Star Wars, I know I'm probably going to get yelled at for this, but Star Wars isn't one of those films that I'm just like, it's not one of those that I spend a lot of time thinking about. I like them. It's just not one of my, one of the things that I fanboy over.
Right.
I didn't read any of the comics. I don't read any of the books. I just, you know, watch the movies and so I don't have any idea of where it should go. Like, I feel like the story was done when when episode 3 came out, like I felt like that was it. That was the end.
No.
It would be nice to see more movies, but I just don't know where they would go.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
What do you guys think, Coding JT?
Yeah, I know online there's kind of like a little, like lots of fans would like to see Brad Bird direct it,
yeah.
Although he's already kind of denied it. And I would love to see that, although I know he's denied it, so we'll see about that. But I mean, really, these movies can go anywhere. I mean, with the universe that exists already through books and comics, like, I mean, it's as like expansive as you want it to be. So I think it's like lots of uncertainty in the future, like where it's going to go. But I think regardless, it's going to be like really, really big wherever it goes.
I'm with everybody else. I don't have like a specific person in mind. I was going back to the, except for maybe A New Hope, but of the original trilogy, the other two were directed by like Irvin Kershner and Richard Mark. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Marquand.
Right.
And these guys, it looks like, you know, they didn't, before those movies, they came out of the blue kind of. They did a lot of TV. I'm looking at their IMDb pages right now just to take a look. The point I'm trying to make is that, like, these people, the good decent directors that are a good fit for the next movies, they might come out of the blue. I don't know if they're going to be, like, huge. Well, they'll probably be huge directors just because of the climate of the industry at this point, and, like, they won't get somebody that's not big. But hopefully it's not, like obviously, like, Steven Spielberg, J.J. Abrams, they already said they're not going to do it. So, like, I don't know if I want somebody that's that
big, yeah.
Like, big. I want somebody that maybe they're on the radar, but they're off, they're like marginal on the radar, and that this will maybe make their career a little bit more notable.
Right.
Because these movies, I feel like they, yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I mean, for me, I really liked the suggestion of Brad Bird. That was my favorite. And obviously, he's busy working on 1952 and probably some other stuff. I'm going to be surprised. He was my favorite. I mean, I thought Mission Impossible 4 was just awesome.
Yeah.
It was probably the best in the series. I just rewatched the original 3 a couple weeks ago because I was thinking about it, and I was like, yeah, man, like, you know, some of these don't hold up as well, like, especially 2 doesn't hold up as well. But 3 was good, and that was J.J. Abrams. So, you know, I was thinking of that and how good 4 was, and, like, I, you know, have it on Blu-ray, and I watched it with my dad the other day, and I'd seen that movie a couple times where I didn't care. Like, I was like, you're going to watch this because it's so good. So, I mean, the direction there is really good. Great action and good story. So, I mean, I like that was my favorite suggestion. But there's some interesting, so many people are being turned around. I mean, Jon Favreau, supposedly, there's rumors that he's trying to get it. Matthew Vaughn would be a good choice, I think, the one that is supposedly confirmed from an actor. He did X-Men First Class. He's done some other things, too. I think he'd be a good choice. I mean, what do you guys think specifically about Matthew Vaughn? You think he might be a good choice for that?
Yeah, I don't. I've only seen Kick-Ass and X-Men by him, but I'm a really, really big fan of Kick-Ass, and I'm sure, like, if he were chosen, I'd be really excited for it. Although I wouldn't really have any idea of what direction he'd take it. So I think he'd be like a solid choice.
Yeah, I think the story might be the thing that kind of dictates who directs it, maybe. But I agree. I think that Kick-Ass was really good. I saw Layer Cake, which was with Daniel Craig. That was really good. So it's kind of a different kind of story. But he's definitely capable, I think. Jon Favreau is an interesting choice that I think that, you know, from Iron Man and stuff like that, I think he's shown that he can do those kind of, you know, pictures like that. But it's just there's so many choices now. We've heard so many people denying that they're going to be it. But yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen that much excitement or, you know, questioning over who's going to be a director for a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember. Did Lucas direct
all three of the prequels?
Yeah. I'm glad he's not now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's the kind of guy where I'm like, okay, he has nice ideas, but, like, get him out of the way. Like, let other people deal with it. Because it seems like when he has too much control, that's when he ruins things. As we've seen with the prequels and Indiana Jones 4. he has some good ideas, but let someone else do it. That's why, like, the best ones are the ones that aren't even directed by him.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
So, I mean, it's something where, no matter what, I'm glad he's sort of handing over the reins and that he's looking to retire. And, you know, I think, you know, Disney is a really good choice since they obviously have such a strong connection with Star Wars anyway, with their theme parks.
Right.
And they've done a good job with Marvel, so, you know, there shouldn't be any fears there. So I can't imagine the movies being terrible, although obviously you never know. But I think that this is a good sign if, you know, people are wary of new Star Wars movies because of the episodes 1 through 3. But I think that, you know, you can't do much worse. So
don't jinx it.
I know, exactly. So, but you never know. So I can't imagine. I think they'll probably fall in between. They're not going to be as epic as the originals, but I think that they'll hopefully have learned from their mistakes in the past and not do everything in front of green screen. So that would be, I think, a big difference.
Yeah, and as you mentioned too, it sounds like the story will be like really important, and I like how Disney's, it sounds like they're kind of focusing on the story. Like they've already hired the screenwriter, and there were rumors about hiring like the ones for the other two. So the fact that like they're actually hiring screenwriters this early and thinking about that at this stage, I think that's like a really like positive sign, because like no matter what director you get, if the story isn't good, then like the movie just can't be good. So you know, I'm really like glad that they're kind of focusing on like through a story perspective.
Yeah, and I mean the writer they chose. It's really good too. I'm trying to remember who they have writing for it right now. I'm blanking. I know he wrote Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, and Little Miss Sunshine. So some interesting.
And then they have in the running one of the other guys for the other two sequels that are coming out. And they had like Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote like he wrote Return of the Jedi.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He wrote Empire Strikes Back, and he wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I'd be stoked to see him write something.
It's kind of cool to have people coming back to it a little bit.
Awesome.
Yeah, Michael Arndt is the one. A-R-N-D-T. He's writing this, the first of the new trilogy. Yeah, Toy Story 3. He's actually writing the sequel for Hunger Games. He's supposedly writing the Oblivion screenplay. And then, yeah, he's going to be writing another Pixar movie, too. So, obviously, he's part of the Disney camp. he seems like a really solid choice. I mean, it seems like they're going the right way with this. You know, they're picking some good people behind the scenes. You know, Disney's a good company. So, you know, I'm excited for it. That's pretty much it for us. Unless you guys, were there any other big stories this week that you guys kind of, off the top of your head, just remembered and kind of want to talk about?
Anything? No, I think we covered a lot of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, since it's the beginning of December, I mean, what are you guys' movies that you're really excited for this month? For me, I know it's Django Unchained.
Yes.
Yes.
Probably my biggest one other than Hobbit. Hobbit.
The 9 minutes before The Hobbit.
Yeah, that's the most important part. Well, supposedly they're also going to have the Man of Steel trailer before Hobbit. Whether they have it in front of the IMAX version or not, I don't know, because sometimes when they do IMAX screenings, they don't have all the same trailers. But yeah, so Man of Steel trailer, and then I heard somewhere also that they will do the Star Trek trailer.
I heard that there's a normal trailer coming out for normal theaters, but the IMAX is the only place you can see the 9 minutes. Right.
So hopefully it's IMAX footage. That'd be kind of cool. So that wouldn't be surprised. I think they were shooting some of it on IMAX, right?
Some of that leaked images, actually, there were IMAX cameras in the pictures. That says IMAX on it.
Yeah, so I figured, because I know JJ likes IMAX, so we should see some pretty awesome IMAX shots in there.
Yeah.
That was my idea.
And lens flare.
Yeah, this is a big one. It's Hobbit and Django Unchained. I can never say it. Is it Miserables?
Les Miserables.
Yeah, Les Mis. How about that? That one, even though I know it's not the same kind of movies as like The Hobbit in Django Unchained, I'm still excited to see that.
Also, Zero Dark Thirty has been getting some good buzz too.
Oh yeah, the Obama. Obama killing Osama bin Laden. See, saved it. the whole Osama bin Laden killing with the is Jeremy Renner in that?
No. I know Jessica Chastain, I think, plays.
Okay, yeah.
Is Joel Edgerton in that one?
Yeah, Joel Edgerton. And it's the director of
Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker and the ex-wife of James Cameron. That's the most important part of that.
Let's see. Were there any other movies?
I'm actually looking forward to Playing for Keeps.
What is that?
The Gerard Butler movie?
It's a stupid rom-com with Gerard Butler and some other woman. I think it's Jessica Biel. I'm not sure. I'm not really excited for it. I was just trolling. But.
What do you guys think about Jack Reacher, the Tom Cruise movie coming out?
I'm curious. I went to a preview screening, the first ever preview screening of it this summer, like when the footage wasn't done yet and the editing wasn't done. And I can't really say anything about it because I signed a thingy.
Right.
But I will say that I'm really curious about how it turned out in the end. And maybe once it comes out, I can say more.
If you liked it, then give us two knocks.
And I was just like, what is this? It just seems so boring. It's like just Tom Cruise playing every single character Tom Cruise has ever played.
Yeah.
That I will confirm.
Yeah. That's the one thing that's like, come on, like, if you're going to do that, just, you know, stick to like one movie or something. Like just make Mission Impossible. Like, stop trying to make these other movies that are the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm also excited. Just for the hell of it, I'll go for it. I'm excited for This Is 40, the like Knocked Up spinoff that's coming out.
That was pretty funny,
Apatow. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it looks pretty funny. I don't know. Like, I liked Knocked Up, and so, but I didn't, like, love it like a lot of people did, so I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be alright.
You know. Yeah, those are pretty much all the big ones that are coming out. I think, I'm trying to figure out when Zero Dark Thirty is supposed to come out nationwide, because according to Box Office Mojo, the 19th is when it's coming out in LA and New York, but I haven't seen a wide release for it yet. Maybe. Yep.
Supposedly it's like the first Friday of January, I believe, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, so I'll have to check for that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, so that'll pretty much do it for us. Thanks, guys, for coming on the podcast with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.